This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome to the Who You Wearing podcast. If you're listening as episodes drop, Nadolig Llawen. If you are not, I'm Kira Pritchard-McLean and I just wished you Merry Christmas in Welsh, in June probably. Welcome to this podcast that celebrates people's style journeys. Now, episode 11 of series 3 is with stylist, designer and influencer Rachel Boo, aka Rachel Pridmore. Now, if you already know Rachel, you will be obsessed with her on Instagram, as I am. And if she's new to you, strap in, you are going to love her. Rachel is one of the most interesting episodes I think we've had, and obviously that is an incredibly high watermark. She is the queen of thrifted and secondhand. She really is. Honestly, she's very open about everything, how much things cost, where she got things from on her Instagram. You've got to go and follow her. She's also a single parent, a fierce advocate for her adult sons who have autism. She has also, in the time that we chatted, created an amazing handbag line that is flying off the shelves. We chat about it in the episode and it's just a pipe dream. She does these beautiful small runs and limited collections. I just love that this brand has become a reality for her, because you can hear how passionate she is and how she's sort of, you know, like reticent, daring to dream, and it has happened. We spoke about it such a long time ago, and I love that just a chat that we had together backstage in a dressing room before one of my tour shows, you know, a couple years down the line, she has her own handbag line. It's amazing. Go and check them out, because they're very like Rachel, everything to do with Rachel. It works very hard. They're very versatile. I don't want to give the game away. Just go and seek them out. This episode was recorded in October of 2022. And it's one of the only face-to-face episodes I think possibly we've ever had. Rachel had come to see my previous tour show, Home Truths, in Ponte d'Arwe. By the way, I am on tour again. In 2024, I'm going back to Ponte d'Arwe as well. So back to that hallowed dressing room. I'm sure Rachel and I will have a catch up then. So we spoke then in, as I said, October 2022. So she came along and I said, oh, let's record this podcast before I do my show. She rocked up at the dressing room, and hence the echoey sound, amazing outfit on, bottle of organic Prosecco and a Bieber sequin cape that she's found for me secondhand. What a woman. Do you know what? I've listened to this chat back a few times because I get so much from it every time I listen, and I'm just getting different feelings from different parts, different bits sticking in my head. I think this is going to be an episode that stands up to multiple listens. She is a big believer in dressing for a better tomorrow, and do you know what? I really, really love that. That sentence is sticking with me at the moment. Please get ready for a very special conversation as I ask Rachel Pridmore, who are you wearing?
Do you remember what age you were when you first became sort of aware of clothes having a bit of power, or fashion, you know, putting on an item of clothing and it making you feel different?
So we were brought up in Berkshire, one of six. So my mum had one, then she had me and my twin. And then when we were two and a half, she then had triplets.
Wow.
Right, so she had 6 kids and a 5. And we were born in Berkshire, living in Wokingham, and I remember the summer holidays, and I would literally, even though they were all jumble cell clothes, because that's all we could afford, I would change 3 or 4 times a day.
Really?
Because I'm such a diva. So even then, I knew that, I suppose in me, there was some sort of image that I wanted to portray. And I remember having a dress for a birthday party, and I remember my parents taking a picture, brown dress, brown shoes, cream socks, with 70s flowers on them, and I thought it was absolute cheese in them. So even, yeah, and I would have been about 4 then.
Wow. So that's young.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you had a very strong sense of style as a kid. And now, is that because you were thinking about how it all looked together, or were you putting on clothes to sort of like emulate people, or was it because you're like, oh, when I put on those clothes, I feel a certain way, and that's how I want to feel going into school, or what was it? What's the emotional thing?
So we had a school uniform, went to a Catholic school, and we never had the proper school uniform because parents couldn't afford it. So we all always looked odd, and it was quite posh Catholic school as well. So I think for me, it even then, before we moved when I was 10, it was about fitting in, maybe. But I'm a great believer, and I've always have, but it's only taken me recent years to realise the emotional impact a good outfit will make you feel good, even if your day's really bad.
Yeah.
A bad outfit and a bad day, you're not going to want to get dressed tomorrow.
No. Yeah.
For me, the emotional side of dressing, I don't care if I'm going to have Liz and I'm wearing taffeta or sequins. But, you know, women say to me, well, I've got nowhere to go, so I never dress up. I'm always in jeans and a jumper. Going to a supermarket, that's an excuse. Dress up.
Yeah. And it's not even being like, when you're saying dressing up, you're not like, you've got to have makeup on, you've got to have heels on. It's not that kind of thing. It's like, dress for yourself, right?
Absolutely. I'm a massive, massive believer of dressing for yourself. I don't dress for him. I don't dress for my friends. I don't dress for work. I dress for me. And if I feel good, I would never go downstairs and say to my partner, do I look good? Because I don't need him to say, look up and say, yeah, you look fine tonight, babe. I don't need that. I don't need that encouragement. So if I come down, once he said to me, I'm not sure about that dress, mind. And I give him a kiss, give him a wink, and I said, that's fine. Next time I wear it, you can stop home. Because it's what I feel good in. And again, I've been a size 16, I've been a size 8. So size and age is irrelevant. It's how a dress or an outfit makes you feel inside. Then you're not looking for people to say, oh, you look nice tonight. Or, oh, babe, lovely dress. Don't need that, because you feel that happiness from your clothes. Clothes should make you happy and not just functional.
You're saying you don't need external validation because you're getting it from yourself.
Your confidence will soar if you're wearing an outfit that you yourself thinks incredible. And then you'll walk into a room and you go, inwardly, I'm always telling people to do, women to do, especially women, inwardly, you'll walk into a room and scream to yourself, I've arrived, darlings. And I honestly, truly believe that. So I don't need validation from anybody else to say, you look shit or you look good. Because I don't care. No, I do care.
But you care about you, right? You care about how you feel about them.
I think having autistic twins has taught me, they've taught me so much, really have taught me so much, more than I've ever taught them. But we've been stared at, pointed at, tatted at, whispered about. Somebody even tried to take a video of one of my sons having a behaviour. So I'm used to all that. So now, because they're not living at home with me, if somebody whispers behind the back, maybe I'm overdressed, or somebody doesn't quite like my... It's literally like water off a duck's back. It does not, in the slightest bit, faze me. If my best friend said to me, you look a bit rubbish today, it would sting, but it wouldn't change the way I dressed.
Going back to your childhood, you said you were thinking about yourself in that brown outfit with those cream socks, 4 years old. So who was dressing you? Were you dressing yourself by that time? Or were you, when you going to the jumble sale, were you picking out the things you wanted?
Oh, absolutely we were. And they had some very brightly coloured sew-on patches that you put onto your denim, right? And it was gay rights or that sort of theme. And I was determined I wanted these patches and she wouldn't sell them to me.
Really?
So they were stuck in my mind.
That you never got those patches.
And I never got those patches to stitch on my dress, my jeans, whatever.
That's amazing. Were you ever then, because you're talking about clothing and joy and things you love putting on, but were you ever made to wear anything that you hated? How did you feel in that school uniform?
I think get treated differently. And they knew we were 1 of 6. And we knew there was not much money there. And I just desperately wanted to look like my friends in the proper school uniform. And that was really, I suppose, really hard up until the age of 10. And even treated differently by teachers.
Really?
You know, because we looked so different because we never had the... They had hats, for Christ's sake.
Mm.
I remember going to PE and not having... what we would call in Wales now, daps.
Yeah. Plimsolls.
And not having a pair. And finding some on a bench, putting them on. And then the lad whose daps they were, they obviously didn't have any. I remember we were all sat in class and nobody was able to leave until this pair of daps turned up and I had them on my feet. Yeah, so those things, that's funny what triggers you back to those memories, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's why I think clothing's really powerful, because I can remember, I can't remember what happened on a night out, but I can tell you what I was wearing for it. Or, you know, I can tell you a split second of it, but not where we went, what we ate, but I can tell you what my clothes were like.
I can go out and somebody say, do you enjoy? So I met you last year. And I'm thinking, I don't know. nope, not registering. Yes, we were at so-and-so. I remembered exactly what I was wearing.
Really?
I remember what you were wearing. I remember what my best mate was wearing. I know what my partner was wearing. Don't ask me to remember what venue it was or whose name it was. I can remember every item of clothing I've got. I can remember when I first wore it and when I last wore it and what events I wore them to.
The brain of yours is absolutely amazing. Was there, when you were growing up as a kid now or a teenager, was there an outfit or an item of clothing that you just never wanted to take off, that you could probably have worn out?
Gosh, again, even as a teenager, we'd still in them much. And I'd go to the 18-year-old disco in Mamma's up the road there, and being 16.
So you'd moved to Wales by this
point? We'd moved to Wales when I was 10, and then was no uniform.
Oh, what? So you went from having a very strict Catholic... got to have everything, and then there was no school uniform in Wales.
Village school, tiny little village school.
So how did that feel then? Did you feel like you could be more yourself then?
My mum was still buying us clothes. They were all second-hand clothes. Yeah. I remember my first, my first outfit to go to that little primary school was a brown skirt and a cream jumper, and I remember that. And probably quite hard for my mum for us all to be out of uniform and having to clothe. Mm. And I think that brown skirt became then our uniform.
Right.
This was 1980. Mm. We moved in 79. So the charity shops were just bubbling up. Mm-hmm. My mum bought all the clothes from on tick.
Oh, yeah.
I remember a Snoopy, though. I do remember one Christmas, first Christmas. Khaki trousers and a white sweatshirt with Snoopy on it. Because I was mad about Snoopy. But going back, I was in Richmond with my grandmother. My grandmother lived in Richmond. And my gran was the strictest Catholic Irish nurse. Very, very hardworking. Incredibly hardworking. And I used to spend an awful lot of time with her. And she'd take me to the charity shops in Richmond. And I'd look at all the glamorous dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And we went into Mark's and I saw a khaki skirt, tiered khaki skirt with red piping. And I absolutely fell in love with it. And I think I must have nagged her because I remember buying it for me. And that was, even today, khaki and red brings back those memories.
Really?
And I often wear khaki and red for that reason.
That's so lovely. That item then is one of your favourites, do you reckon?
Yeah. And every time I wear khaki and red, it just reminds me of my grandmother.
So lovely.
And I think probably as well, it was probably one of the few items that were bought brand new. So that was really special.
Yeah.
That was like all my Christmases and birthdays all rolled into one. I had something brand new from a physical shop.
When you were a teenager then, or when you're growing up, what were the big trends? And were you someone who looked at it and then went, I'm going to do my own version of this? Or did you follow the trends, you know, to try and blend in? How did you work with the
fashion? So we're the area of catalogues. So we'd all look at catalogues and we'd see. I remember when sitting on a stool and she had a pink dungarees on. I can't remember the top. She had long, dark, curly hair. And she was absolutely beautiful. And these pale pink dungarees. And I remember my friend Hayley loving that picture. And her hair was actually very much like that. And we all wanted to be her. But we all wanted those dungarees. And it was catalogue time when you paid, you know.
You just pay over the year, don't you?
And you just paid and paid and paid and paid. Occasionally, I would order off the catalogue, but I would always look for something quite unique. I remember black jersey, those really baggy trousers of the 90s, like hammers.
Oh, like MC Hammer, like Hareem pants type things. Yeah.
And a top that was backless, but it had a hood.
Oh, wow.
And I was white as a ghost, with really dark, dark hair, naturally dark hair, and these blue eyes, and my back on show, with no vest in the front, white against this black. I love that. I love that outfit.
Wow, that would look amazing now.
I wish it was still around.
You should get one made for you.
I should, you know. I can remember it. I can remember the top and how it was backless, so it had, fitted at the waist, jersey, so you put it over your head and your arms, but it had a hood.
So it was just a shoulder piece with a big hood on then? Wow. That sounds great.
Mum was still charity shopping. Grandad collars were in, so I would take off collar off a man's shirt, I would roll the sleeves up, and then I would make, you know, the strap that you start with a little button to hold the.
Oh, yeah. So the one on, like, an arm of a shirt when you roll it up and you can put the tab on it. Yeah.
So I'd make them.
So were you quite good with the sewing machine or anything?
Not so much now. My mum would be skirts and I wanted them fitted, so I'd take them in. Jeans I would take in. If I could alter, so I think that's probably why I'm creative now. We had to make do so many times. It taught me to think outside the box and be really, really creative in how I wore clothes to make them fit in with all my friends.
So that's interesting. So you're getting your stuff from charity shops and things like that, but you're taking them and then adapting them in, and then staying on trend that way?
Yeah, or at least trying to stay on trend that way. But I always thought in my 20s, in my 30s, in my 40s, when I get older, I'm going to dress for myself. When I get older, I'm going to be really dressing my own style. I don't want to. I love my friends a bit, but I don't want to dress like them. I don't want to look like we all look. I want to look like me. I want to look like there's something inside me that when I'm old, I'm going to do this. When I'm older, and one day I woke up and thought, what are you waiting for? You might not get older.
Mm.
Though I will live from 110, let me tell you.
I believe you.
Oh, I will. And I will still be wearing whatever makes me happy.
Like Iris Apfel, you know, with all the stuff on. Did you have a rebellion then? And would we have seen it from your clothes?
I went through a phase probably late 80s, early 90s, where I was very rebellious. You know, the drugs and the clubbing and, you know, go out in pyjamas and then change into our raving gear and then come home and sleep for 2 days and all this business. I still managed to get up for work. I have no idea. And again, I suppose it was sort of a uniform because everybody went out sort of raving or that type of scene. We all dressed the same anyway.
Mm.
So it wasn't much difference, except I was earning money. And if you wanted to go into a nightclub then, you had to wear black. You weren't allowed to wear jeans. So the staple sort of uniform was black trousers and a nice top.
Yeah.
All my wages went on clothes.
Really?
So I bought a new outfit off the high street every week Now, bear in mind, it was probably only then. Topshop, Miss Selfridge, Next. So we all look the same anyway.
Yeah, you're all working with the same 20 pieces of clothing anyway, aren't you? So how would you make yourself stand out then? Because I can't imagine you blending in.
They obviously had their style, and I was still struggling with what my style was. So I was early 20s, wasn't quite sure, and I was literally just following fashion. So whatever top was in Next, and that's the top I was going to wear out on a Saturday. I think it was probably in my 40s where I started developing my uniqueness.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
We know that this style then that you've got, which is so gorgeous and eclectic, and I always think of you as being like a celebration.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's
so lovely. That is really nice.
But it's like a celebration of like yourself, but also the clothes. Like there's loads of texture, and you're just so thoughtful with how you put things together. Like it's like you really understand the history and power of clothes when you're wearing them. It's just magic. I absolutely love it. So this started in your 40s, which I think will be amazing for people to hear, because sometimes, and I've definitely felt like this, if you're like, I'm not one of those really cool teenagers who was really edgy and had, you know, changed their hair all the time or whatever, and it was on trend, like, well, you've missed the boat, you haven't got the eye. But the fact that you didn't start growing into this until your 40s, I think will be an amazing thing for people to hear. Was there an inciting incident that was like, right?
So when the twins were, I'd had my three children, and I remember being in Asda's, and I was pregnant with the twins, and I remember seeing this lady wearing men's trainers, some smock type dress, and she had three kids behind her, and they were wearing wellies. Now, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but I remember this almighty feeling, thinking, I'm not going to be that person.
Oh, like the ghost of Christmas future.
You know, and I'm thinking, right, I'm going to have three children. It was scared the living daylights of me having three children and a set of twins, because I knew what my mum and dad went through.
Yeah.
You know, a large family. It wasn't on my list to have twins. It certainly wasn't on my list of things to do. And I remember seeing this lady, and I was going to have to give up work because I was expecting twins. And I remember thinking, that is not going to happen to us. And I think that was always in the back of my mind. It's about, and even after they got diagnosed as being severely autistic, or one moderate and one severely autistic, it's about, if I look good, if my kids look good, if we all look put together, and we all look like an image, I suppose, if I look like I'm coping, then people will think I'm coping, when the reality was far from, especially, you know, finding out you've got two disabled children.
Mm.
Again, that was not on my list of things to do.
So do you think any of that harks back to you being, you know, those kids with a slightly off uniform in school? Do you think it plays into that whole thing of, well, that was a sign that things were tougher for you, and actually what you wanted for your own family is there never to be a sign that anything was tougher?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think then I didn't want my married life being different. And then here comes along my two beautiful twins who are incredibly different. So I think clothes then played a massive part in the persona of we are coping.
Mm. Yeah.
Which was, on occasions, far from the truth.
I know you're doing it for other people, but did it ever, putting on a, you know, great outfit and having them in, you know, looking great?
Yes, absolutely.
Did it make you feel like you were coping as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, and you know, even with our really, really roughest days when they've got challenging behaviour, if we all look good and we all portrayed to the world that we were looking good and we were all doing okay, then that was enough to say, well, we can do this tomorrow then, and tomorrow might not be a bad day. And if you've got a great outfit on and it's, the day's a bit blah, you're going to wake up a little bit more positive because, do you know what? You loved what you wore yesterday, so let's wear it again today.
Yeah. I know what you mean about, like, because I sometimes think that, not that I'm saying you're this, but when I talk about clothes and that way of being incredibly powerful to how I'm feeling and how I feel about how I can deal with the world, I worry about sounding, like, you know, vacuous or, you know, vain. But it's not that. It's like, it's actually a bit that I'm really in control of this thing and I am going to see myself in a mirror or whatever. And I don't also want to look in the mirror and think, and you look like shit, you know, because it's only going to make me feel worse.
And clothes are, for me, part of control. My image and my clothes are the only part of my life I can truly can control. Because we haven't got any control over what's going to happen to us or what parts we're going to go down. So getting up in the morning and getting dressed is that control that we do have. Or what our hair looks like, or our makeup looks like.
And do you think it's so interesting what you're saying there about, like, because when you said twins were not in the plan for you, and then, you know, the boys are autistic as well, that there are going to be the elements that make you feel very out of control. Is that about the same time that you started really thinking about those outfits and what you're going to present to the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, clothes is like an armour. Makeup is like an armour.
Mm-hmm. I always ask people, do you think of hair and makeup as part of the outfit? And it sounds like you do.
Yes, absolutely. I will, if I put on a dress and I would decide whether it's a red lipstick or a pink lipstick or purple eyeshadow or gold eyeshadow. We spend a massive amount of time being mothers or working in uniform, or as a hairdresser we used to have to wear black. And it's really hard, and especially mums who have been taking the kids to rugby, cricket, ballet, swimming. We spend our lives in jeans and a T-shirt and a pair of trainers. Then all of a sudden, even though it's not all of a sudden, over 17, 18 years, they've flown the nest. You've changed jobs. You're now looking at your husband thinking, now what? And you're stuck in that uniform of T-shirt and jeans and trainers. And I really want to say to women, this is your time, or menopause, and our bodies change shape, and we become invisible. When I wear my hair flat, I feel invisible.
Really?
Really, really do. I could, you know, as big as my Instagram is, I'm sure if I went out with my hair flat, I wouldn't get stopped. Because people wouldn't recognise
me. Yeah, you do look very different with it down. And is that part of your way of being like, I'm here, I'm taking up space, like, I'm owning this, like, because it is quite a statement haircut you've got, and yet when it's down, does it feel more like you're hiding?
I'm hiding, yeah, absolutely, and I could walk around and nobody would, not that I want people to recognise me. What I actually love is women who come up and stop me and want to chat, and I always have time to have a natter with people, because apart from fashion, I really love people. I absolutely love people. I like to know the history. I like to know, you know, are they in a good marriage, shit marriage? What they do for a job? How they feel about their clothes? How they feel about their menopause, weight gain? Mm. You know, all those things. I really do. So when people stop me in the street and want to talk, it's get me shut up. And people say, oh, yeah, I follow you on Instagram and you're like, and I'm really nervous because you're like, you've gone famous. And I have to keep on telling people, I'm not. I'm Rachel from Pontydewi, who just happens to love clothes. And I will always be just Rachel from Ponty, who happens to love clothes.
Gorgeous. Over the years, are there any trends that you try, while you're finding yourself, any trends that were like, you know, bang on in fashion that you tried to pull off, but it's just not happening for you?
Jeans.
Jeans, I can't believe this jeans thing.
Yeah,
I mean, jeans. I say that. I've got jeans on now, but you know what? I have never found a pair of jeans that aren't black that I feel comfortable in.
They're the hardest to shop for.
Yeah.
If you're bottom heavy like me, so they never fit my waist. Quite chunky thighs, so they're always going to be uncomfortable.
Mm.
I don't think they do anything for my shape.
How tall are you?
5'4", dead on size 12.
Yeah.
And even when I was at 8, I wasn't comfortable in jeans. When I was at 16, I wasn't comfortable in jeans. So there's not a size that I would say, it's very, very rare that I wear jeans. And if I wear them, I end in an hour, and I can't wait to get the beggars off. And black leggings. And black leggings.
Because when I put on black leggings, it's because I'm like, I can tell that that's a sign that I'm not feeling very nice about myself. Do you know what I did when I was in my first year of uni? I wasn't very happy. I found it quite hard moving. You know, coming out of your big love relationship when you're about 18 as well. And I looked at my wardrobe and I was like, I've got all black and I'm showing the world I'm not happy with myself. So I bought some new clothes and, you know, started finding stuff. But I looked at my wardrobe about 6 months later. It was all navy. But I can tell when I'm not happy with myself, or, and that isn't necessarily linked to my weight either. That can be that I'm working too much, or, you know, I've got something I'm worried about, because I start to wear all black and the black leggings come out.
Right, okay. I don't own black leggings.
Really? Just none?
No, I don't know.
What do you put on when you're like putting the bins out?
I got a vintage velvet house coat.
Of course you have.
it cost me £1 in the charity shop.
No. Do you know what? Since I met you at that event that we did for Oxfam Cymru, you had this house coat on and I was like open-mouthed it. Just constantly buying house coats now on eBay. Yeah. They're amazing. The 70s ones with a big paisley on them. So I've just bought one of those now.
Fabulous. Yeah. Wemmer's coat.
Yeah.
Because if you think, you know, we're not going to name brands, but if you think of the two, probably the biggest two high street brands out there now, one brought out a famous spotty dress and everybody wore that spotty dress. So if you think of them, they sell their house coats as duster coats, as kimonos.
Yeah.
They sell them at $49.99, $79.99, limited edition ones at $89.99. They're dressing gowns.
Yeah, they are.
And just because they're not velvet, just because they're not velvet, just because they're not toweling.
Yeah, we don't spot it.
So you spend $89.99 on a limited edition, and yet you wouldn't wear a house coat from the 70s. What is the difference? I can tell you the difference, though. The one from the 70s is better made.
Yeah.
And the one from the 70s is unique to you, whereas everybody's wearing the one from the high street.
Absolutely.
Old velvet is just a dream to feel. Textures is very important to me. If I see them in the charge-up, they're the two things I will never pass by. Because they'll last forever.
Ever, forever and ever, yeah.
Especially if they're vintage.
Oh, because you've got a lot of vintage clothing. What's the oldest item of clothing you've got that you still wear and love? And that can be something you've owned for the longest or the oldest, you know, just by its age itself.
The dress I've got in today is 1970s, and I don't feel anybody in their 50s can really...
I know what you're going to say. I love this theory of yours. Go on.
Take on the 80s look.
So you think that you can't go vintage with the era that you grew up in? Right.
So ages. I feel last week I bought a really lovely, and I'll probably wear next week, really gorgeous 80s leather skirt. It's midi length. So it's quite unusual to the normal sort of 80s knee length.
Mm.
And I'll wear next week, but I'll wear it with a very relevant now top.
Mm.
If I was to wear it with a 80s top, I feel that would date me at my age, like I'm stuck in the 80s mum look or the dynasty look.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And I've got a beautiful blouse. It is very dynasty. But at the moment, I'm struggling to find something to wear with. Otherwise, I'm going to look like I come from dynasty. And I think for my age, you've got to go further back. Now, the kids who are in their 20s now, they rock the 80s look. They do it so well. And the 90s look. My age, I think 80s and 90s would seriously look as if we've been caught in a time warp.
I feel the same about that Y2K look that the kids are wearing now, which is the era that I grew up with of, you know, like bootcut jeans and combats and things like that. I think I would look freaking tragic, or like I was on my way to a themed party.
It would make us look, very dated.
I know exactly what I mean. I think we all know a woman, and I think they're gorgeous, but, you know, who still has their blue eyeshadow, that pink sort of shiny lipstick. And
what was their one, Rimmel? Heather Shimmer.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that one.
Heather Shimmer lipstick. And Miss Selfridge brought one called, we were all crazy for it. There was two. I can't remember the name of the pink one, but the copper one was Copper Knockers. You go back. It's The '70s.
So this is from the '70s. Have you got anything older than that?
I have got a 1950s Welsh cape.
Oh, I've got a Welsh tapestry.
Yep.
I've got one of those.
And I won't part with that.
Yeah, I love
that. I was really fortunate. A friend of mine who I met many years ago, she got disabled son. Her mother-in-law had gone into nursing home. She had these four Welsh tapestry items. One cape, three coats. And if poor Helen, she wanted to gift them to me and I couldn't take them off her. So I bought two of them and I sold two of them for her. And my cape is my friend Joy, I'll never get rid of that.
I absolutely love it. Just something really nice about, because also I think that I think people now know that sort of Melyn Tregwyn, that Welsh blanket pattern. But Welsh tapestry is, I feel like that's the thing that only really Welsh people know about. It's not mainstream Welsh, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so it's feels like a real piece of heritage.
When I wore my cape the first time, and I was on a Facebook group called Charity Shop Not So Shit Finds. It's a brilliant group, amazing group. They really give me the confidence to, they're so, so supportive. They were the ones who pushed me into Instagram.
Really?
But I put this cape on and I'd knotted it in the front. And this woman told me off. And she commented, "You are not respecting that garment. You twist it so the band is plain and the knot is in the back." And I went, "I will wear my cape how I want to wear my cape." And then she replied, "But you're not respecting, I know, it's a mod area." And she went off and went, and I had to keep on coming back up to her comments to defend myself. I think maybe it was the way she said it, but I think, thinking about it, actually she's right. I wasn't respecting it. I now wear it exactly like it should be worn.
Do you see yourself then, when you get pieces like this, as like a custodian, you're taking care of this thing?
Fills me with so much joy. Absolutely fills me. I see a piece, this dress today. I've got a stunning coat from off the shoulder and a dress from off the shoulder. A couple from Weekdays in Puttcord. Those pieces I will keep forever. Those pieces are, if I'm going out with my girlfriends or I've got my partner and I'm thinking, I'm wearing that tonight.
What's the item of clothing I want to ask that you've had for the longest in your life then? Can you pinpoint that?
Oh, yeah, a pair of culottes that I had when the twins were born. And I still wear them. So they're 23-year-old.
Absolutely.
And every time I wear them, everyone goes mad for them. And they're nylon. And they're a bit out of shape now. And I've worn them from my biggest size to my smallest size. And I still wear them. And I wear them in the summer. And I wear them in the winter.
Because you dabble with all sorts of eras and, you know, I never see you be like, this is full 70s. It never looks like it's, like I say, fancy dress. It looks like it's melding all these. But is there an era that you wish you existed in just for the fashion?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Just after the war. So you're talking 1940s, where if you were sexy, you had a really good job. You went out in the most beautiful workwear.
Mm-hmm.
You had the matching coat. You had the heels. The hat, the bag, the gloves, the hair, everything was so very, very glamorous. And I think they came out there Second World War Day and been a lot of hardship, a lot of heartbreak. And I think the women and the men, you know, you're looking dapper. The men wore beautiful suits. So if I could go back, absolutely. And I remember my other grandmother who moved from Berkshire when we moved down. She came down a year later and she used to stand on the bus stop waiting to come up to the village in her fur coat and her hat, and the local women would whisper, "Who does she think she is?" My grandmother was from that age where she was a secretary and she wore some amazing clothes.
Wow. Is there an item of clothing you put on you just instantly feel amazing?
So it's Zara, and I wore it this week and everyone went absolutely bonkers for it.
Wait, I think I've seen this dress.
So it looks like a mermaid.
Yeah, that is gorgeous.
And it literally, and somebody else said it looks like the dress is alive. I think it's because it's velvet, not velvet. Let me straight. It's green, quite thin. You could wear petty or something underneath it. And then it's got the blue, bright blue velvet spots. And it's asymmetric. And it's pullover. There's no zips, there's no buttons. You just chuck it on. And every time I wear that, and because the light captures it, the way that when it moves, it does look like a mermaid or a fish's scale. It literally does come alive when you wear it, because every sort of light and or every contrast will pick up that dress. So there's that. And my velvet jacket I found in the charity shop.
What cuts that?
So this was, I'd done my sort of usual sort of charity shop route in Leith, and I was just about paying for something, my last shop, and I'd paying for something, and I caught a glimpse of it, and it's velvet. It's not velvet, it's velvet. But it's like a snake skin.
Oh, wow.
And it's got a little mandarin collar. And I looked at it and I thought, damn, that's nice. And I looked at the price, £15, and I thought, I'm really skint, that's beans on toast. If I buy that now, I'm on beans on toast the week, and I don't know if I'll be able to afford better. And I was just about to put it, and I thought, I'll have another look. So I had another look, tried it on. Fits perfect, like I say, like a glove. The detailing, and there's black piping on it, and the detailing is absolutely incredible. Now, there's something in me, I don't know what it is. I always say my dad, because he's passed away, watching over me. There's always something in me when I come across real good, proper good finds. Mm. Don't leave it behind. There's a voice that just says, you cannot leave that behind. Come home. Bumped into my friend Donna. And I said, I just found this in charity shop. What do you think? She was lovely, man. She said, she's very nice. There's something quite Prince Charming about it. Didn't recognise, didn't know the designer. Boy, I do know her now. I absolutely do know her now. So I did a little Google, and then I rang partner and I went, you sat down? And he went, why? What you bought again? I said, well, there was this jacket in charity shop. It's £15. And I've just had a little Google. And she was one of Princess Diana's favourite designers.
No.
So it's Caroline Charles.
Oh.
And that jacket retailed at £1,000 in the 80s.
Oh, my God.
So it is an 80s. So I take it back every night. Because it is an 80s.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's your relationship like with shopping? I mean, I think this is going to be a series of life hacks for people. So, do you do it often? Is it only secondhand? Is it, do you like to feel the stuff? Do you do it online?
I think people think I'm in charity shops every day. It's not the case. Absolutely not the case. Big hit and miss with eBay. Because you can't feel the material, you can't see how it flows. They might give a length, but then you've got to take the fact that the waist might be too high or the waist is too low for you. So I find online buying is quite hit and miss. And sometimes I think something's really incredible is going to come along and it's not. If I see something that I would call my trusted sellers, I know that their clothes are going to suit me. This dress, for instance, as soon as I saw the shoulders, I thought, as soon as I saw the cut on it, I knew instantly that would be an amazing frock. Charity shop wise, like I say, I can run my hand through a rail. I can spot a garment a mile off. I know instantly.
Really?
It's taffeta. It's mohair.
So what is the best thing you've ever thrifted or got secondhand or charity shop car boot sale? What's the best thing that you like? Check this out.
I couldn't say. There's so many. Absolutely so many. Leather is always a good buy because leather would always stay in fashion. So on eBay, there was a red leather coat. The detailing and the cut is incredible.
It looks amazing. It's really lovely. You put a thing on today, we're talking about your incredible outfit, about looking for gold boots. My kingdom for a pair of good gold boots. I've got a really good pair of ASOS, like, crocodile effect cowboy boots that are gold. I loved. Right. But I've had two pairs of them, because I sent the first pair back, because because they're plastic, they just sort of give, you know, where your foot bends a bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They sort of, you know, start doing it. So I don't wear them very often. Also, they absolutely hurt the bones of my feet. So I don't wear them very often. But someone, if they made an amazing statement, gold, vegan leather, good quality boot, they could have all of my money.
Heavenly Feet, are you listening? We do need gold boots. Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. I did find some on eBay. Actually, somebody probably about a year ago, because this is how long I've been looking for gold boots. I've got silver mirrored boots.
Wow.
And I've got silver mirrored sandals. I've not worn this boots yet. But somebody put up on one of the fashion groups I was on about these gold boots. And I thought, oh my God, they're exactly what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I bought them. They came. I was so excited. Opened the box. In my excitement, I didn't look at the size. They were a size 3. Darling, they wouldn't have got on my hand. Yeah. So then I sold them on at a reduced price because they were just sitting in the house.
Yeah.
And so I'm still on the hunt for, in my mind's eye, I know exactly how they need to look. When I go out with mates, when I go out with people, I want to, or my partner or whoever, I want to enjoy the company I'm with. I do not want to be thinking to myself, oh my God, I need to go home, my feet are hurting.
Mm.
Or pulling down my dress, or pulling up my top, or fiddling with the zip, or just not feeling comfy. Because if you don't feel comfy, you want to go home, you want to put your pyjamas on.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to go out, look incredible, but comfort is absolutely my number one. It's got to be comfortable.
Someone listening, make those gold boots. Comfortable gold boots. Yeah. So we're going to talk about the future now. So do you see your style evolving again as you get older? Or do you just think, this is me?
I think as I get older, I will keep on pushing my boundaries because I think there's nothing better than pushing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We all make mistakes in clothes, don't get it? We all make mistakes. And I still come back to this when I'm older. No. Now. Mm-hmm. Now. If I see something and I think it's amazing, I'm going to Tesco's. And I would like to think as I get older, I will get even braver with my choices.
I love that. Because I think a lot of people think, oh, I finally got to 30 or 40 and I feel like I'm myself. But the fact that you feel like you're pushing and be like, no, I'm going to be like the most, like, you know, from concentrate, you know, like double concentrate squash. That's you as you get older.
There's going to come time when my hat collection is going to become massive and you won't see me with a hat, or my shoes are going to get really incredibly unique to me, or who knows, I might get to 80 and love the 80s fashion and I'll be in that dynasty era then. Maybe then I get to the dynasty era.
Well, we should talk a little bit about bags, because that's one of your, am I allowed to talk about that? It's one of your dreams, right?
Range. So I've been drawing bags since I was knee high. I started really drawing them when I was tied at home with my twins, my kids, always in secret. Some of them really naff, some of them really quirky. I suppose in the last 3 years, I've come up with a bag which I've not seen anywhere else. It's such a dream of mine, and it's having that faith to think that other people will love this. If there is anybody out there who will want to have a look at my designs, please speak to Kiri and we can maybe we'll have the faith to pass it over. It's something I need to do. It's something I think I will get to being 110, because I will live till I'm 110. And I would be kicking myself that I didn't have enough faith in me.
Yeah, because if you waited till you were saying you were sort of in your 30s and 40s to finally dress the way you want, don't wait till you're 100 till you start, you know, just making your bags.
Do you like my handbag? Do you think we can make them?
Yeah. Is there an item of clothing you can always see yourself wearing? And that can be like an item like, oh, well, I'll always wear a denim jacket, or there's this one dress that I'm going to wear till I'm 110.
So that mermaid dress, I will always keep that. I will wear that until it literally cannot be worn. It's fallen apart.
Movement's important to you, isn't it? How a garment moves.
Flows, yeah. Dresses are always going to be my thing. Mm-hmm. Whether you wear them with a chunky boot, or you wear them with a trainer, or you wear them to go to Tesco's or Aldi, or to a night out. There's no difference wearing this dress today and then wearing this dress tonight. Or this dress today to come and talk to you, and then wearing this dress with different accessories to wear to a wedding.
Mm.
I'm not girly, but I love a frock.
Mm. Mm. Me too. Are there any trends that you're hoping never come back?
Marble wash jeans.
Straight away.
Marble wash jeans, absolutely.
What's the beef?
There's nothing flattering in them. I don't particularly like ripped jeans. You'll never catch me in a pair of ripped jeans either. Marble wash jeans and denim jacket, double denim. I know some people wear really, really well. It's not a look that I'm ever going to be comfortable in.
Final question. Now, this could be a sad one, but it's meant to be a celebratory one. So, what outfit would you like to be buried in?
I want to be buried naked.
Really?
Absolutely.
Open casket.
Open casket would be nice, wouldn't it? Because I want whoever's taking care of my affairs afterwards and sorting through all my clothes and my jewellery and all my pieces will take my clothes to a charity shop. I want you, Kimberly, to come into my house, take all my clothes, and I mean this, honest to God, I mean this, take all my clothes, donate them back to a charity shop, so somebody else can enjoy my clothes.
Rachel Pridmore, aka Rachel Boo, there, go and seek her out on Instagram. I cannot believe I've been tasked with sorting out her amazing wardrobe for when she passes away at 110. And I believe that she will. I also believe that I will be dead long before then. What a woman. She's very much alive at the moment, and I'm sure you'll be able to pick her out if you live in South Wales. She'll be the one in Tesco's making her outfit count. Oh, I love that attitude. Now, I'm very interested to hear what you guys think about her theory, because this is what stuck in my head first time around when we chatted. Her theory about not being able to go vintage from the era that you grew up in. As someone who is seeing Y2K go around again in fashion, I think that speaks to my soul. I think I agree. I found it so traumatic to see the clothes that we grew up in back in fashion, and I thought it was just because we grew up in a time with particularly bad fashion, or that I just didn't want the impracticality of being wet to the knee and with my pubes hanging out in a pair of low-rise bootcut jeans. But maybe it was just actually I instinctively knew. You know, Rachel's method of not wearing the era that you grew up in. Yeah, maybe that was it. Maybe that was that little voice in my head speaking away. Very interested to see what you guys think about that. Oh, if you want to get in contact, by the way, you can. You can message us on Instagram at whoyouwearingpod. And you can also message us via email, whoyouwearingpod@gmail.com. Always love an email. Thanks very much for the ones that you've sent so far. If you find some comfy gold statement vegan boots, hit me up. Please, it's the holy grail. And you know what? I am so glad with this episode that we have got to share a story from someone who openly says they didn't find their style until their 40s. Because so many people do you know what I mean? They just seem to have it together or experimented with stars in their teens loads. But I reckon Rachel represents absolutely loads of us just trying to make it work with what the world is telling us fashion is until we actually find ourselves in it. And boy, has Rachel found herself. She's just, yeah, she's just incredibly inspiring and thrifty. And I've seen her spray paint things and upcycle things and work with tailors and layer things. She's just a gem. So the indie business I want to talk about is, well, it's not so indie anymore, because sometimes there'll be a business that links to a guest. So as soon as I finish recording the podcast, I'll write it down on my phone. And I did this with this business after speaking to Rachel. So I want to talk about Pre-Worn Limited, because both are Welsh and all about secondhand, both Pre-Worn and Rachel. However, since recording this, the Wrexham-based indie Pre-Worn has grown into the UK's biggest secondhand clothes selling website. And they only started in, I mean, some sources say 2017, some say 2019. I think the model that they have now is 2019. So they basically take clothes that are destined for landfill and list them on their website. All items are twice checked for quality. And then you buy them. And I have bought stuff from them in the past, especially because what usually happens is for the first 6 months of the year, I say, I'm not allowed to buy any clothes that are new to the world. And this has been a really helpful website because I know I have that thing where I crave acquisition, or sometimes you just need something, right? So I have definitely bought stuff from Pre-Worn on there. It's really great for basics, I find, and denim. You know, when you're like, right, I've chub rubbed through another pair of jeans. I can go on Pre-Worn. I can search by size. I can search by brands on there. If I'm like, oh, I know in a Topshop, I'm this size. I'm not anything in a Topshop, to be honest. But, you know, I know that, you know, Primark or whatever is this size jeans. You can search via that. You can, there's lots of different very useful settings. It's clearly a website built for people who like to buy stuff online and have things, because sometimes eBay's not, the interface isn't that good, and Vinted is great, but Pre-Worn I feel like was the OG. I've also found it's basic stuff like that, you know, like stuff I would layer, wear under stuff, or denim. They're the things that I still head back to fast fashion with, because I kind of know where I stand with those places, and sometimes you've got to pick it up on the go. But I will say about Pre-Worn is I've also got great statement pieces from there. I've got this really banging checked wool cape that's Topshop, and I think it was £6. And I always get compliments when I wear it. I'd say the pricing is sort of charity shop prices. So clothes start from a couple of quid. They have sales on there, absolutely amazing. Nothing I've seen on there is actually over a tenner. And postage is free if you spend £20. And when I jumped on their website to check the other day, they had an offer on that as soon as you spend £25, you get £5 off. They've got a loyalty point system as well. So if you sign up as a member, you can save up points and redeem them against shipping and against purchases. So if you are someone like Rachel who doesn't want to buy new, who's working on a budget as well. You know, Rachel spoke really honestly about managing finances, growing up in a big household, and then as well, you know, being a mum and a hairdresser and, you know, everything that she sort of had to juggle on a budget. I think websites like Pre-Worn would be absolutely fantastic. And I know loads of people listening will love Vinted. And I think Vinted is really great for kids' clothes and really great for statement stuff, right? But when you just want like basics and you want them to, you know, a couple of quid, and if you've got fast growing kids as well in the house, Pre-Worn, I'm telling you, introduce it to your life and you won't regret it. Oh, and thanks to Emma, who got in touch after last week's episode where I recommended the indie business Manners. She says, I was so thrilled to hear Manners as a shout out. I can definitely vouch for the titty witch. This is what Sally, who runs Manners, calls herself, because she claims to be able to give you sort of boobs that hold themselves up in the air without the need for a bra, which I'm still cynical about, but I'm promised I'm going to invest in some Manners stuff. She says, Emma signs off with, I'm literally wearing mine right now. Absolutely magic. Okay, Emma, Another tick in the manners box. You've convinced me. My next episode is with the incredibly chic Corner Bell. So I'll see you then.
Who Are You Wearing is produced by Joe Southard. The artwork is by Mary Phillips. And the music is by Annie Glass. This has been a Little Wonder production.